Welcome to Inside New Mexico. I'm Derek Underhill, and each week at this time, I have a conversation with the chairman of our Republican Party of New Mexico, former congressman of the 2nd Congressional District of New Mexico, Steve Pierce. Steve, how are you doing this week?
Well, we're doing well. We've got a lot to talk about. We'll jump to it, but stay tuned for all three segments today. The number $17.33 ought to catch your attention, but also a magnificent Albuquerque Journal editorial talking about the electric vehicles that are going to be mandated by the Democrat Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham and her unelected board. She personally chose them all. We're going to be talking about China's Xi Jinping is going to visit the U.S. tomorrow as we're recording today, but we're going to talk a little bit about that. The border has got a lot of issues, so stay tuned. But the first thing before we get too deep, Veterans Day this last weekend, and we just want to say a very heartfelt thank you to all of our veterans, and thanks for the service, but also the families. It's not just the veteran who serves, it's the family, because a lot of times there are sacrifices that have to be paid by the entire family.
And you would know you are a veteran, and I just want to point out to people, I always find it amusing how you became a pilot and flew transport planes, and you were afraid to fly. Not anymore,
yeah,
but you were.
My early life, I was scared to death of flying, never visualized it, never wanted to do it. I was also scared of going to war and dying in the war from like the age of 5 and 6. That just got implanted into me, and I could never shake that out. So when I got the notice from the draft board, that was the last thing in the world I wanted. But God has a way of managing with your fears if you simply open your eyes, and instead of going to Canada like some of the students, and I even had a friend go to Canada at the same time. We both got low draft numbers, and I think it was 1967, beginning of my junior year, and he went to Canada. I got into ROTC, but the only slots they had available in ROTC were flying slots, but I chose to do that and still fly myself around today. And so it's funny, the things we think we're afraid of maybe aren't as big a fear as we thought. But we should always remember our veterans, because when we don't have people willing to serve, then you wind up without the ability for a country to defend itself. And that's exactly the situation that we're finding ourselves in right now. Enlistments in the U.S. military are at a 50-year low. The shortfalls in the last 2 months are getting larger rather than smaller. And I think that's a direct reflection on the Democrats' disrespect of veterans in general, but especially the president, Joe Biden. You just can't kind of cover up an entire lifetime of disrespect for the military and veterans. And so we first saw this complete disregard for the seriousness of the 13 soldiers who were killed in Afghanistan and his botched withdrawal there. So they had the service there, I think, in the White House, and you got to see the president checking his watch during that ceremony. But then he's never even mentioned the names of the 13, and that's a very strong sign of disrespect for the 13. And his first year, 2021, he just plain ignored D-Day. That's, again, one of the times of greatest sacrifice of American servicemen and women, and for him to completely ignore it just sent a strong message to veterans in our active duty military. But then the next year, finally, he said something about 8:45 p.m. in the evening. It wasn't an oversight. It was planned that way by him, by his staff. So you have these continued just displays of disrespect. But I think maybe one of the things that he's done even this year, people could say, well, you know, he's gotten over it and blah, blah, blah. But this year, he got up abruptly and walked out in the middle of a Medal of Honor ceremony. Now, Medal of Honor winners are so rare, that medal is almost never given to anyone. And for him to get up and walk out during the ceremony just, again, sent a loud message to all of us who have served. If that wasn't enough, then he doxed the U.S. Special Forces who are in Israel right now. He stood in front of a picture so that the terrorists could identify who is there and who is there as a representative of the Special Forces of the United States military. And again, this is the president of the United States doing this. This, is, again, is not a mistake. This is the way that the leftists view the military. They disrespect them, and many times they hate them. They know that the American people support them, so they can't really be much more obvious, but they're willing to do these things that just irk any decent American and any American that supports the military. So no wonder that the enlistments are at a 50-year low in our military. And if we want to know where that's going to take us, just take a look at what's going on in Israel right now. They have every citizen there is expected to serve. And I've heard stories of citizens here who are in their 50s and 60s going back to Israel, where they were born, and they're going home to serve. And that's what it takes. And instead, the leftists here in control of the government have made such a mockery of the military that they can't get people to join. And we're going to face a serious problem if all of these terrorists that Joe Biden's open border policy has allowed to come in, if they start activating cells across this country, we'll understand how serious a problem not having a strong military is.
What are your thoughts on the outcome of the election from last week?
We're hearing a lot that, again, it was total failure on the part of Republicans, and especially a lot of blame going toward Ronald McDonald. And especially one of the candidates calling her out on the debate stage, I thought that was really questionable. I have looked pretty seriously at the arguments and listened to, of course, what Ramaswamy, candidate Ramaswamy said, and I found them to be somewhat simplistic. The idea that the chair of the RNC, the Republican National Committee, is responsible for all of these problems is, again, a very thin analysis of the situation. You first of all have to understand that the left gets about 20 times, they've got 20,000 single issue nonprofits compared to 1,500 for the Republicans. And they also gather about 700% more money than we do. So in the election in 2022, the special interest groups talking almost totally about abortion had $20 billion to $3 billion for the Republican nonprofits. Now, in the election, for instance, in Kentucky, every single down ballot Republican outpolled the Democrat eventual winner for the governor's race there. And again, it's just the top of the ticket that's being looked at when people are assessing this. But what had happened is that the special interest groups poured about $6 or $8 million into talking about what the Republican candidate would do if he was governor, and it frightened people. Meanwhile, that candidate didn't respond at all to those charges that allowed people to believe that he was actually going to be a crazy right-wing extremist on abortion. So that was a major failure. The same thing happened in Ohio and Virginia. Massive amounts of money poured in telling what Republicans were going to do on abortion. The Democrats can't win on any issue except that one, and they can only win on that when they mislead the people. But Republicans have to be answering back to what we're going to do. And we have to share the truth about the life issue and how that the Democrats are wanting abortion all the way up to and including the day of birth. That's a radical extreme position that not many Americans support, but the progressives that are in charge of the Democrat Party supported 100% until Republicans began to deal with that issue, until the candidates began to answer the questions, we're going to have these lackluster results. Now, nationwide, there were some pretty stunning developments. We won I think it was a county commission seat for the first time in 50 or 60 years in New York State. That gave control of the county commission over to Republicans, and that's sending shockwaves through the Democrat establishment. Another major thing that's sending shockwaves through the Democrat establishment is that Black voters and Hispanic voters are rejecting Joe Biden and Democrats in greater numbers. And that's got a lot of the Democrat pollsters extremely worried. And so the results here in New Mexico were not as big as we wanted. Our vote totals are increasing. We convinced more people to vote early. That's one of the big things that we fight, is that a lot of times Republicans only want to vote on election day. Sometimes the lines are too long and people end up leaving, going home. And we can't take a significant disadvantage in the vote totals going into simply one day on election day. So we're continuing to train. We're continuing to build our structure and feel very positive about 2024.
You mentioned a dollar amount at the beginning of the program. We'll explain that after this on Inside New Mexico.
Attention, New Mexico veterans. If you were honorably discharged from the U.S. Armed Forces, you've earned state and federal benefits, and the New Mexico Department of Veteran Services is standing by to assist you. State benefits include a veteran's property tax exemption, education and training, and transportation services. We can also assist with claims for federal VA benefits. The state of New Mexico and this radio station thank you for your service. More information at nmveterans.org or 1-866-433-8387.
Thanks for staying with us on Inside New Mexico as I continue my conversation with the chairman of our Republican Party of New Mexico, Steve Pierce. Steve, let's get to that number you mentioned at the beginning of the program, and I'll start with an experience my wife had. I know she knows what we talk about on this program, and her some of her church friends went to an exhibit at the Roundhouse in Santa Fe. It was an art thing. And anyway, they noticed when they parked in the garage there for the staff and visitors for the Roundhouse in Santa Fe that there were two charging stations there. Neither one was being used. For the whole level, there were only two charging stations. She didn't see any electric cars parked on the level she was at because she made a point to check.
Yeah.
People in Santa Fe aren't following the governor's order.
Yeah, I wonder where the governor's EV is. She should be leading by example. But the truth comes out, the Texas Public Policy Foundation, the TPPF, has done a really deep dive into the cost of actually owning an electric vehicle. And it comes up with this eye-popping budget-sinking number of $17.33 per gallon of gasoline is what it costs to refuel an EV. It's equivalent to $17.33 per gallon of gasoline. That's not told to you when the governor has her kind of special hand-picked volunteers about to their meeting this week to tell citizens that we're going to have to comply with the mandates that are true in California. We don't live in California, number one. Number two, we shouldn't be held to those standards. But that's what happens when you let unelected people have control. And that's what she's doing. She's turning to this group to implement these policies that are making life very difficult. Now, we mentioned at the beginning of the program, the Albuquerque Journal editorial board has a tremendous article that came out on the 13th. I would draw your attention to that. But this mandate that is being put into place by Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham, again, any Democrat governor would be doing it because it's kind of their national talking point. This article points out that they don't tell you things like there's only one public electric vehicle EV charging station in Espanola. It's at the local electric co-op, and that's available only during business hours and only on weekdays. So if you got an EV in Espanola or other rural areas, you're probably not going to be able to drive at night. You're not going to be able to drive on the weekends. And so this mandate that they're wanting to put into place is going to go in 2027. And of course, that's when this governor goes out of office. So future governors are going to have to be stuck with it. But they want to have 43% of the vehicles that are sold in the state have to be EV vehicles by 2027. That's crazy. We've got 600,000 cars, and right now we've only got less than 1% of the cars registered here in the state are actually EV cars. And so now you got to jump from 1% to 43%. But then the real problem comes by 2032, and that's less than 10 years from now, then 82% of the new cars have to be EV. You know what that's going to do to dealerships here in New Mexico? You're going to see people going across into Texas, Colorado, and Arizona and buying more practical cars, cars that they can get around in and make a living in. And so, number one, we're going to kill auto dealerships in New Mexico, sending more of our money out of the state. This governor is really good at causing people to buy other places. And so she's going to send jobs again out of the state by this mandate. So your wife's experience shows us that nobody in Santa Fe is probably as friendly to the governor as any place in the state. And the governor ought to be friendly to the governor. If she believes this stuff, get her EV and start driving it in every day to work. Have all of her police detail that follows her and leads the way. Have them in EVs so that they really show by example that this is going to be a good thing for everyone. Another thing that this article in the Albuquerque Journal points out is that we don't hear much about the limited range of EVs, and especially in the mountainous areas. We don't hear much about the propensity of current EV owners, either EV parked in the two-car garage, and they use their standard vehicle. Of course, unless they're going to the country club and they want to do a little virtue signaling, then they'll take their EV. Another thing we don't hear about is how state law prohibits direct-to-consumer car sales. So Tesla, because of the law in New Mexico, had to locate its dealerships on Nambe and Santa Ana Pueblos. So you have a collapse of the EV market nationally. Dealerships are stuck with these things sitting on the parking lots. They're unable to sell them. And so the manufacturers are saying they're not going to make as many. And so at the time when they're going to quit making them, this governor is going to say that everyone in New Mexico, that's the only new cars you can buy. And so, again, just it shows the difference between Democrats and Republicans. It shows that Democrats haven't got a clue how the private enterprise works, how the free market works, how free choice works. The only way they can get their radical leftist policies implemented is by putting them into law. They can't even do that with elected officials because people would unelect them. You're going to have to unelect this governor if you want to change, if you don't want the craziness of the EVs. stuck down our throat by 2026. That's 2.5 years from now. So we'll see how it goes. But again, another reason why New Mexico's economy is bad, another reason why it's so hard to live in New Mexico because of policies that come straight from the Democrats, just like this.
Well, I'll buy one when I see they start using electric ambulances and fire trucks, and when the Army starts using electric tanks, then maybe I'll consider it.
Okay, that's a good point.
The president of China is coming to San Francisco to meet with the president of the United States. Why do you think this is happening?
Well, what's going to happen is that we're going to be embarrassed on the international stage once more. First of all, you have to consider the humor of the situation. They're bringing in our biggest military competitor. They're bringing in our biggest economic competitor, and they're going to send them into San Francisco, where the city is almost out of control. So Governor Newsom, this supposed president in waiting in California, he's got the steam cleaners out, power washing and scrubbing the streets and trying to get rid of all the evidence of the failure of his policies and the policies of the Democrat machine that controls San Francisco. And so the places they can't clean up, they're erecting fences that you can't see through. And I think probably they're going to put real smiley faces on those things on the fences there, to where the leader of China will be duly impressed with the smiley faces hiding the trash and the homeless and the drug paraphernalia that's littering the streets of San Francisco. So that's the first thing that's going on. But then I think just the weakness of this president with regard to China, the weakness of the president with regard to supporting Israel, is kind of placating the radicals in the Democrat Party and soft handling for Hamas. All of those things are going to be on full display. I think this is just one of those photo ops. Frankly, I'm not sure what the president can hope to accomplish. I don't think he's going to do anything that talk about the strength of the Chinese army and the strength of the Chinese navy. I visited China when I was in Congress. We could cross the bay, the shipyards that were building the attack submarines that were more lethal, bigger, and faster than our submarines, and they're also quieter. That's the essential element of any submarine, is how quietly can it travel. And so for years, and even probably decades, they've been building their military while our president gave away tens of billions of dollars worth of our arms to Afghanistan when he left unceremoniously, just pulled out in the middle of the night. But then he gave the $10 billion to Iran in order to equip more of the terrorist organizations around the globe. Then he unleashed the sanctions that had been put into place under President Trump, keeping Iran from exporting oil. So the estimates are that Iran is making $30 to $40 billion more a year selling oil. And so they have all this money to do bad things with. And I was listening to the State Department spokesman today, kind of soft shoeing around the idea, saying, well, all of that extra money they're going to spend on their citizens, they have a limited budget on terrorism, and they're going to spend that money on terrorism, but not a penny more. All of this money coming in from oil sales is going to help the citizens. If you believe that, well, you probably want to believe George Strait's song about the oceanfront property in Arizona. It's ridiculous, the mindset and the analytical statements that are made under this Democrat president. And frankly, it's indicative of the value set of all Democrats in elected office today. So that's what we can expect to see this week as we get a visit from the leader of China into San Francisco.
There are more problems at our southern border. Steve Pierce and I will talk about that and more after this on Inside New Mexico.
National Guard and Reserve members are true leaders, both in the military and in the workplace. They are highly skilled and get the job done every day. Employer support of the Guard and Reserve, ESGR, can help you recruit top-notch service members to your workforce. Hiring Guard and Reserve members is good for your business and good for your community. Visit esgr.mil/employers to learn more.
Welcome back to Inside New Mexico. I'm talking with the chairman of the Republican Party of New Mexico, Steve Pierce. And Steve, I see we continue to catch people with bad intentions coming across our southern border, and those are the ones we know about.
Yeah, that's the ones we know about. KVIA out of El Paso is doing really, really, I think, courageous work in pointing out the things that are going wrong on the border. Sam Harris-Simowitz in a November 9th spot on KVIA talked about the Juarez man that's pleading guilty to trafficking firearms into the U.S. He's illegally reentering into the U.S. through El Paso. And so while you have Michelle Lujan Grisham trying to disarm law-abiding citizens here in New Mexico, you've got criminals who are crossing illegally into the U.S. who are bringing guns into our country. And so, again, we're going to be defenseless if our governor has her way. She, again, sticks it in our face saying that she can do as many executive orders as she wants. She can declare as many public health as she wants to take away whatever rights that you want. But then last month in Houston, a Jordanian man was arrested on a federal firearm possession charge, and he had spoken of martyrdom and had been here teaching others with similar views on how to kill Jews. And so we have these things that are popping up. We haven't had a serious attack since 9/11. That woke the country up. President George Bush did a good job of sealing off any future attacks. Donald Trump did a good job in that. And now then we have these kind of warning signs popping up everywhere that the terrorists are here. And they're here to do a lot of damage. So a lot still happening at the border. In another KVI article, Border Patrol Sector Chief out of El Paso, Chief Good, he reported that they continue to find people who are creating stash houses. They have found weapons on people coming into El Paso. The Border Patrol Sector Chief points out that many of the people coming in, a greater and greater number, are single individuals. Then you had that car that was stopped and I forget where it was, but somewhere near the border, and illegals started piling out of the car, running into the woods. When the Border Patrol got up to the car, it was empty. They opened the trunk, and I think there was a 6- and 7-year-old there, and they weren't related to any of the illegals in the car. So you can only imagine that these kids had been kidnapped from their family and being brought here for sexual exploitation. The human trafficking problem is extreme at the border. And so you just have the chaos that continues to reign at the border. But, you know, as we're getting toward the end of the program, you have to point out that the sanctuary cities that never had to worry about actually being a sanctuary city, they were happy for their status. But then when illegals started showing up, they began to scream and say, wait, we didn't know it was going to cost this much. A recent estimate, Wyatt, is that it's costing the taxpayer $450 billion a year. That's a wild amount. And it approaches the amount that it costs to fund the military. It's at least half of that. And these are all costs that the U.S. taxpayers are being asked to bear. But some of the illegals coming into Chicago, there's a recent story in the Daily Mail. Michael Castajon from Venezuela, he is proudly saying in the newspaper that he and his family are going back to Venezuela. He said, if we got to sleep on the streets, it's warmer in Venezuela. And plus, we got family somewhere there. We'd rather sleep on the streets in Venezuela than sleep on the streets here in America. This is the result of Joe Biden's open border policy. And all Democrats favor this same policy. They don't speak up against Joe Biden. Even the attempt to impeach Secretary Mayorkas was not able to be passed in Congress. It had 8 Republicans who voted against the issue, and they're claiming regular order, which means that the process would normally be for that impeachment request to go through committee first and then come out of committee and go then to the floor of the House. So 8 Republicans kept that from moving forward to the Senate. But all in all, we have just an intense situation surrounding our border and the lack of security at the border. I think it's becoming more frightful every day. And so we just have to deal with the problems as they come up.
Well, you know, Steve, listening to us talk here, if you're listening to us on your favorite radio station or Spotify, whatever it may be, it's kind of depressing. But I saw a report, there was a poll that only 14% of Americans, and this includes Democrats, think the country is going the right direction, that are better off now than they were before Biden was elected. So this could be still turned around. Things could get better. The sun could come up again in America.
Yeah, I think that it absolutely will. As an example there in Chicago, as they deal with the problems of being a sanctuary city and actually having immigrants come there, illegals come there who need sanctuary, then you have a councilman who proposed that in the coming election in next November that there be a provision on there that allows the voters of Chicago to choose whether or not they want to continue being a sanctuary city. The progressive Democrats in the area and across the nation are going crazy because they don't want to break in the idea that all Democrats support these policies. And yet that's what is happening, is that the dam is beginning to break. All we have to do as Republicans is continue to do the right and noble thing. I think one of the right things that is happening is, again, today, tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of people showed up in Washington to march in support of Israel and the Jewish people. We have our college campuses where hate speech is reigning supreme, and not one campus administrator is holding anybody accountable for hate speech. Not one FBI person is looking into the hate speech coming toward Jews. So you can see the way the left is, that hate is outlawed unless you're speaking hate against somebody that the left hates. And that's going to be allowed, and that's going to be okay. The outpouring of support for Israel from normal, everyday citizens, I think, is heartwarming and in complete contrast to what the Democrats and the radicals on our campuses are doing. I think that our support for Israel is well-founded.
Thank you, Steve. And folks, if you've been listening to the program and would like to find out more about the Republican Party of New Mexico, you can do that several ways. One is to check out the website, that is newmexico.gop. The party has a Facebook page and an X account. The handle is at New Mexico GOP. If you would like to speak to someone in person, you may call party headquarters in Albuquerque at 505-298-3662. That's 505-298-3662. Always want to thank the radio stations around the state that carry the program. For Steve Pierce, I'm Derek Underhill, and we look forward to meeting with you again next week right here on Inside New Mexico.